Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
The Japanese have just officially laid down their arms. They have signed terms of unconditional surrender.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
We have the opportunity to move not only toward the rich society and the powerful society, but upward to the great society.
So tonight, to you, the great silent majority of my fellow Americans, I ask for your support.
Our long national nightmare is over.
The Panama Canal Treaty of 1903. That treaty, drafted in a world so different from ours today, has become an obstacle to better relations with Latin America.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky.
I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the Savage States of America.
Everyone, what we did for you today on the Savage Nation is take one soundbite from each president from FDR forward. And as you can see, it's been on a downward spiral ever since. And that leads us to the current crop of candidates for this wonderful office. Now, I tried to do a rough analysis, and I believe that this character, B.O., has had more exposure to the American people from his underlings in the media, that would be ABC, CBS, NBC, and the others, the cable channels. They have exposed this character, although he's not yet president, to the American people to a greater extent than all those other presidents put together. Can you remember one thing that Obama has said that is original and inspirational? Now, I could ask the same thing about John McCain, but the answer is a given there. He's not running on the Messiah platform. The other one's running on the Messiah platform, yet I truthfully cannot remember one thing he said. I have never seen a candidate engage in such voter fraud, accept foreign money, and buy so much time with money coming from places all around the world. Never seen anything like it. So that's a topic that I mean is worth talking about. My ideas are usually original. There's another original one for you. Fox and Friends stole one of my ideas this morning, I'm pleased to announce, because it gives me pleasure to see that they don't know what to do other than talking about the election. The idea they stole from me, do you remember about 3 weeks ago on this show, we talked about the fact that Obama would not be eligible for a standard CIA or FBI security clearance? Remember we did that 3 to 4 weeks ago? Well, this morning, Fox and Friends took that idea and ran with it, which is amazing. It's a great compliment to me that they have to listen to this show to come up with ideas. And I, as I predicted to you, after this election is over, there is going to be a meltdown in the media. These people have no idea what to talk about other than this stupid election. But I'd rather talk about something else if you don't want to talk about this. The phone number here, if you do, is 1-800-449-8255. The other topic that's got me interested in today is this. I don't know why. I'm kind of bored. I'm depressed. I'm angry. I'm agitated. In other words, it's a normal day for me. And I was looking at a website today. The LA Times has a great series on the gangster squad. These cops were so tough, it was unbelievable. I mean, if you look at these boys from 1946 through 55, when they were real police and they could do what police need to do to break crime, as we need in this country today. I mean, these guys were as tough, if not tougher, than the gangsters they were running after. They were brawny guys. In fact, one of them was an ex-B-25 pilot who came back, and he became a criminal. Movie star handsome, try to be. So it got me interested in the movie business and the cop business again, and crime in general. And I started to think about actors and actresses of the last number of years who've completely disappeared from the public eye. And I thought of Nick Nolte. Where is he now? I know he had that unfortunate drunk experience wandering around on Highway 1 in Malibu. I've never seen him since. I know, I think he did a few little. Remember Daryl Hannah, how she'd take your breath away, how gorgeous she was years ago? Remember? I mean, this girl, when she first appeared, took the oxygen out of your lungs. She was stunning. Amazon stunning. Where is she? I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to put them down. It's not a subtle, offhanded jibe. I don't know. Where do they go? What happens to people who are famous like that? I'm a very lucky guy because I'm not handsome. I was never an actor. I never lived off my looks. I always had to live off my brains and my drive and my guts. All my books would be out there, but okay, fine. I might just do a Sunday morning religion show just to keep my hand into the American pie, so to speak. That's what I'm thinking about. It's been the most grueling nightmare of my life. Unbelievable. Please end it. Please anoint one of them president. Oh, my God. And incidentally, on my book, Psychological Nudity, I really love this book. It's my happiest book. I mean, I'm more proud of it than any other book. Because in one way, it's the least political. In the other way, it's the most personal. In another way, yet, it's the most political because every personal story is political. I don't know what's happened, but since you folks received your copies and started calling the show, they're disappearing at an enormous rate. I mean, we're almost out of the book now. In fact, I just called the printer today and said, how long would it take to print another edition of this or the next run? I never thought this would happen. So let's talk about whatever you want. I've given you three topics, and I'm not going to review them. One is the presidents and their lines, and Obama and his exposure yet has said nothing. Number two, the fact that Fox and Friends has stole my idea of whether or not Obama would be eligible for a standard CIA or FBI security clearance. You know you heard it here first. I mean, what can you say about that other than, you know, great, thanks, Mike, you're original. Then actors and actresses who have disappeared. But I don't think anyone's going to talk about that. And then the book. So let's begin with McCain and the election, since we're ready for more of that. Stephen Boston, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, thank you. I'm a liberal, but I believe McCain will be declared the winner regardless of what the vote says. Can I tell you why?
I wish you would, because it makes no sense.
Back in the 70s, Bob Hope was interviewed on Johnny Carson, and Bob Hope relayed the story about how the Republicans approached him to be president, and Bob said, well, what if I lose? And they told him, we can guarantee you will win. Don't worry about it. And Bob Hope, on that basis, says, I want out. I don't want to have anything to do with it. And right now we've got the talk media and everyone else, you know, tilting the cart, and we've got this half.
Wait, hold it. Wait, you got the media tilting the cart which way?
To McCain.
Are you crazy?
Making a scarecrow.
What is in the water in Boston that you could make a statement like that? Everybody in the media has been pulling for Obama for months now. How can you come up with a statement like that?
I'm talking about talk radio, Mike, not the media.
Well, you just said the media, though.
Well, talk radio.
What do you want us to do? Go out of business because we don't go along with the liberal program?
No. I want...
I mean, we're not allowed to have our opinion, right? We're not allowed to like a candidate because the liberals don't approve of it. What do you want to live in, the Soviet Union?
But you're not allowed to have a 95% monopoly on talk radio.
What do you mean I'm not allowed? Who said so? You? Who the heck are you? Some little fascist in Boston? What do you mean I'm not allowed? Show me where I'm not allowed. Where's it written I'm not allowed to have an opinion? Show it to me.
It's
why don't you call up NBC and tell them they're not allowed to kiss Obama's boots day and night? Have you done that recently?
The fairness doctrine...
Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. Why don't you call ABC, CBS, and NBC and ask them how they get away with their bias day in and day out?
The reason Obama is going to lose is because the Republicans...
The only reason Obama's going to lose is because he's a fraud. And the American people are starting to see through this green fraud put forward by foreign powers and gangster elements in America. You know it and I know it. What's happening is they'll even choose this old war horse, this sad sack, middle-of-the-road liberal Republican over the fraud Obama. No matter how much money he spends, the people are not buying it. Thanks for the call. I'll be right back.
Savage.
With Latin America.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order.
All right, let's pause right there. New world order, new world order, new world order, new world order, new world order. That was first used by a certain German in the 1930s, incidentally. It wasn't even original to Mr. Bush 1. However, here we are in 2008 on the brink of a change, perhaps, to a socialist government, because make no mistake about it, as in Europe, there are a multiplicity of parties. Here, unfortunately, we're stuck with, you know, two diet drinks, both of which we don't like. And the Democrat Party today under Pelosi and Obama, that wing, are the Social Democrats of Europe, probably even to the left of them. But for want of a category, I'd call them the Social Democrats or the Democrat Socialist wing of the party. There's no question that these are not the JFK Democrats, and yet many Democrats are so blind to what they're doing, they don't even know they're voting in a socialist candidate. The American people are so naive to not even know that. Now, we can talk about that, or I'd really rather move on if you don't mind. San Francisco, Tom, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage, I just received your book this afternoon when I got home. I was really happy, and I wanted to compliment you on the dedication. It's actually really beautiful. Can I read it?
Yeah.
For Janet, Becky, and Russell, who have traveled this long and difficult road with me, without whom I would have not have made it. You old softy, you. It's really, that's cool.
Why do you, and let me ask you something. It's funny you would pick up on my dedication, but what is it about it that touches you?
I think because it shows that you're not such a hard-shelled person that everybody thinks you are, which, you know, people that listen to you all the time know that you're not. But it really,
What it is that a family man knows that life is filled with briars and stones and this and that. And that the people don't have families don't understand that as difficult as family life is impossible without it.
Yes.
They don't understand that. They don't understand what the family unit is. It's the strongest bond on earth, which is why homosexual marriage is such a threat to civilization itself.
Yeah. Hey, on Daryl Hannah, she's still working, and she's still as stunning as ever. She was in Kill Bill. She was one of the assassins, and oh, my God.
Oh, she played opposite the girl from New Jersey. Uma. Thank you for the kindness. Now, I want to read you a paragraph from my new book, Psychological Nudity, and I want you to hear this clearly. One paragraph in the last page, 194. Peter, we're living through the greatest propagandist time in the history of this country. The media is pushing this unknown man. The media is pushing the myth of global warming. The media is pushing the lie that all immigrants come here to work. The media is pushing the myth that two homosexuals should get married. The media is pushing one myth after another, Peter, and they're destroying the public mind. Do you understand that? Peter says, but you have to understand that you're the only salvation for us. Savage says, Peter, listen to me. I don't need to be president to be your salvation. listen to me, God is not the president of the United States, is he? But he's your salvation. Anyone who picks up a Bible has salvation, and God is eternal. He doesn't have to run for office. He doesn't need to be a congressman or a senator. His words are in the Bible. My words are on the radio, and my words are in my books. That's where I live. I don't want to be part of a corrupt, broken machine. That's the last story in Psychological Nudity called Savage for President, when one of my listeners says, wait a minute, 75 million people went on your website over 18 months and said run for office, and that was my answer to him. This is the Savage Nation. Duluth, Minnesota. Stewart, go ahead, please. You're on the program.
Michael, I got a question. Who do you think the puppet master is behind all of this?
Behind all of what? You mean the myth of Obama?
Right.
Well, I don't know, but when you see all of his links to terrorists like Bill Ayers, America haters like Reverend Wright, PLO operatives such as the gentleman on the videotape being held by the LA Times, there's a constellation of evil here that worries me very deeply. Are they the troika that's behind him? I doubt it. I think it's the straight old Democrat Party itself who finally found the candidate who excited the public. And they're running with him. They think that they can control him after he becomes president. But I can give them four examples of history from the last century where they also had a charismatic leader who was put forward by a machine. And they thought they could control that charismatic leader. And then after that charismatic leader was elected to office, he then turned on the people who thought that they could control him. So I believe that no one knows which way Obama will run. If he should win, there's no way to know whether he will eschew his terrorist radical past and overcome it, because people do, by the way. I mean, Jesse Jackson, for example, used to spit in the salads of white people, and look at what a fine man he is today. I mean, what's his name? Al Sharpton. He was a wild youth, you know, with his megaphone outside Freddie's Fashion Mark, egging on people who rioted allegedly and caused deaths, the Tawana Brawley incident, and look what a fine gentleman Al Sharpton has become. They've eschewed their past, haven't they? So we have everything to believe in Obama. We have every reason to believe he will eschew his terrorist, extremist past and become a nice, moderate politician if we use the model of Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton as our examples, don't we? This is the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
Ding. It's the Savage Nation. Soon the election will be over, and all of the talentless hacks in the media are going to have to come up with ideas. And guess what? They don't have any. They're starting to steal my ideas. They're recycling them because they realize they are burned out. I expect after the election they're going to spend another few weeks talking about who voted for this and what demographic did that, and you're going to tune out like never before. There's going to be a black hole of listenership for the news media. And I'll keep chugging along because I have never solely done politics and polls, never. They bore me to death. I've never seen anything like this. The only reason we have a two-year election cycle now is because the candidates fundamentally don't excite the people, and they need to be, after they're invented, they need to be created with media. Because if you truly had an exciting candidate, my friends, you wouldn't need 2 years to get across to the American people. People are pretty smart. I noticed another story came up that Jack Murtha, the creature from the Black Lagoons of Pennsylvania, who called our American Marines Nazis, who called his own voters rednecks, is now struggling to keep a seat. That wonderful example of humanity there in Pennsylvania. There's a gentleman who was an actual Iraq war vet, a real combat vet, as opposed to this usher there, Murtha. And Mr. Russell looks like he might beat Murtha, because Murtha put his foot in his mouth over and over again. You know, he called his own voters in Western Pennsylvania rednecks. And racist on top of it all. I don't know. I just don't know what explains this detachment from reality, you know. Albany, New York. William, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Mr. Savage. Well, first of all, thanks for taking my call. And according to your time zone, I believe in that neck of the woods there, good afternoon.
And what's on your mind, William?
As one of the subjects you wanted to, or at least you were encouraging to talk about tonight, one of them I want to talk about is Obama. The thing that discouraged me and distresses me the most is the people in this nation that are willing to allow a person of such degrading character, lying character, lead them. That's what distresses me the most.
Be the first politician who lied. I mean, he's just in a long line of lying politicians. The part that bothers me the most is that he has no experience, and yet he's being held up as a potential commander-in-chief when we're facing the Islamic threat around the globe. And yet at the same time we're facing the Islamo-fascist threat around the globe, which has not diminished at all, Mr. Gates of the Defense Department has the nerve today to drop the word Islamist from his rhetoric for fear of insulting Muslims, including Islamists. That's the kind of world we're living in. And that's because Bill Gates allegedly wants to keep his job if Obama should win, and he's willing to become a capon in order to satisfy him. Well, how can we win a war if we only identify the enemy?
But doesn't it discourage you the most that people are willing to allow themselves to be led by these people?
Who says they want to be – oh, you mean his followers, the kids who smoke marijuana who are mad in the streets?
Vote them in. They're not paying attention to the truth.
They don't want
That's
the truth.
That's what bothers me the most.
They don't want the truth. They see a young, viable, reasonably good-looking guy with big ears who has a great voice running against an old man, and they're choosing a young man over an old man. And that's really, that's a large percentage of the youth vote right there and the hysteria. They see kind of a rock star-y kind of guy as opposed to an old man. They could care less what they stand for. You think they really know what he believes in or what he stands for? No. It's window dressing to them.
Saddest part of the whole thing.
It's not the first time that people voted based upon looks and appearance as opposed to substance. Now, if we had a candidate on the other side who truly had a belief system, who truly had deep substance, who truly stood for things that are bedrock, McCain would be ahead by 10 to 15 points and would have been a long time ago. But McCain waffles and is wishy-washy, so that people can't back this old man because he doesn't stand for anything other than winning.
For us to do it.
Thanks for the call. I don't want to do it. See, I didn't want to do it, but there it is. I'm doing it anyway. Get him doing it. I don't know what to do. I'd rather read from my book. I'd rather play with the dog. I'd give you a recipe for scallops. Talk about animal rights. Talk about how chickens are slaughtered. Ask you if you still smoke and why. Talk about arterial health. Talk about how we're omnivores and we're physiologically adapted to be omnivorous instead of whatever. I'm brain dead from it. In fact, the week after the election, I'm going to be here for the follow-through for the week. I'm taking a week off. I can't take another day of this. I don't know if I can get through this till Tuesday. I don't know. I've never seen anything as boring in my life. All the years of struggle, all the years of hero-worshipping Alfred Russel Wallace, Einstein, Bertrand Russell, Ernest Hemingway. Look what I have to talk about day in and day out. Two stooges like this I have to spend my day, my every day. You know, it's not easy for me, and I'm not talking down to you. I'm telling you, you can go crazy from this. You can go insane doing this every day. This is perfect for a person who has no college education and who was a disc jockey and got lucky in radio. I mean, let me lay it on the line. The conservative band is filled with uneducated folks, not bad people, not stupid people, but they have no background in education. They never read a book. If they did, they don't even remember the name of it. They did not grow up with any great goals in life other than to make a living. And many of them started as disc jockeys or fill-ins. Now suddenly they're great pundits, and they reflect the political class of this country in too many ways. Now, I can't do this. You understand that? That's why I can't wait for this to be over. Because if I'm going to spend a day talking, a couple of hours a day, it has to be more interesting to me for it to be interesting for you. And we've said everything that needs to be said about both candidates. We've said it for months, day in and day out, day out and day in. There are no new revelations. We know Obama's been surrounded by radicals. He himself has said that he's been surrounded by radicals. He himself has said that he's always been attracted to the Marxist professors and the structural lesbian whatever a structural lesbian is. I don't know if that means they're the good-looking ones who have a great structure or those who want to restructure society through their lesbianism. I mean, you can take your choice. But he's pretty clear that he's on the far left wing of the Democrat Party. That's all. So there it is. Las Vegas, Greg, you're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael, for taking my call. It's a privilege to talk to you, sir. I got
your
book last week. I work a night shift, and there it was on the sofa when I came home, and I picked it up. It's a very handsome book. You look
Thank
very
you.
Distinguished, and the dog is very cute, Teddy.
Thank
I enjoyed
you.
The picture of your brain with a smiley face on the inside back cover. I flipped it open, and the first story that caught my eye, just right in the middle there someplace, was End of Day Glass. And I said, God, that sounds like something out of a Bob Dylan song or a Grateful Dead song. And I read it. It's one of the shorter stories. And a kind of synopsis or an analogy of my whole day, at the end of day, what your father was saying, they got all these different colored glasses they got to put into one, and they make these beautiful mm-hmm. pieces out of it, you know?
Yes.
And there was a couple of words in there I had to look up, I got to tell you.
Wait, I want to ask you something, Greg. You said that it relates to your life in a way. How so? What do you mean? At the end of the day, what do you mean it relates to you?
Well, at the end of the day, I come home. It's like at 2 in the morning. I'm done, and I've got about an hour or so to just do nothing and to reflect upon the politics of the day, the good things about the day, just all the pieces of different things that come together for the day, you know?
Okay. In other words, for you, the end of day glass story, in many ways, your days end, and you have to put together all of the disparate elements of the day into one logical whole.
If I want to get a good night's sleep.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point. I have to stop I've stopped watching television at night because I realize the imagery is so violent, and the imagery is so perverted. No matter what I do, I can't get away from it, and it really is affecting my thinking. It's getting me ill. I'll give you an example. Last night, I watched the Discovery History Channel for about 15 minutes, and it was an old one from 2004 showing Saddam Hussein's atrocities, which we've all forgotten, by the way, in Iraq. And it showed the Kurds and the children who had been gassed by sarin gas and mustard gas in northern Iraq by Saddam, who was one of the great murderers of this century. And I could not believe how this has been obliterated by the Democrats. You know, to Bush's credit, he did remove one of the mass murderers of all time. How could anyone forget the pictures of stiff little bodies, little children, who looked like dolls, who were laying there dead, I said to myself, and the skulls they found in mass graves that Saddam had produced through his cousin, the killer? And I said, you know, Bush should be given credit for taking down one of the great mass murderers of all time. But it's been swept under the rug. You know, you got to give credit where credit is due, but I couldn't sleep all night, the thought of it, to be honest with you, Greg. Anyway, thanks for calling about End of Day Glass. Give my regards to Las Vegas. It's one of the short stories in the book. It's actually less than a page long. You know, there used to be in American literature short stories and then short stories. And what I did in this book is try to bring back both, because these are radio stories, and they're also aimed at the modern audience who generally doesn't have the time to read an entire book. They want to turn it anywhere, open it up, get hit by something. And look at this. A one-pager already struck a man as related to him. Let me read your paragraph if you don't mind. It's more interesting to me than Obama and his commercials. And End of Day Glass, it says, I remember learning this when I was a kid in my father's antique store. Let me tell you what End of Day Glass is. Don't you sometimes enjoy a multitude of stories without the distraction of a logical connection? End of Day Glass is similar to stream of consciousness storytelling. Some of the most colorful glass is variegated glass. You know, all sorts of colors were in those vases made with variegated glass. Dad, what's that? Well, Michael, that's End of Day Glass. What's that, Dad? Well, at the end of the day in the glass shop, they have different colors that were left over from the various things they were making, and they melted it, and they put it all together, and it became this beautiful multicolored glass. All the different colors were melted down and made into a thing called end-of-day glass. My dad knew so much, never went to college, but he was worldly wise and knew reality. I was blessed. Not saying that if you go to college, you don't know reality. I'm not an elitist, nor am I an anti-elitist. I'm highly educated. Not everybody who has a higher education is an idiot. Let's not get carried away with these categories. But my dad was a smart guy who happened to not go to college. He could always surprise me with his knowledge. I was very lucky in that way. So here's a simple story, less than a page long, and here's a caller from Vegas who says it touched him in a way I didn't imagine it would. That is beautiful, and I want to thank that caller. I'll be right back. Savage. It is the Savage Nation. Look, this is not like other shows. I'm a moody guy, and I reflected on my show. I try not to, but it's impossible because in many ways I'm an open book. I mean, we all have secrets, and you're not going to know everything about me. It's not your business. But the fact of the matter is, in many ways, I am an open book, and I don't feel great today. And that's because a friend of mine called and told me his son died while playing ice hockey. I mean, it's wrecked me. I remember the kid when he was little. And he just died out of nowhere, and his son was a man already, and it was, no warning, no nothing. And, it's not like I knew the kid personally, but I remember him when he was a baby, and then my friend is, wrecked, just came back from the funeral and buried him. It affects you because, I have to explain to you why. I mean, so it's just one of those days. So, it's funny. So I had the book in my hand, Psychological Nudity. It's funny, my hand just flipped open to this one. You don't know what tomorrow brings. Isn't that interesting? You don't know what tomorrow's bring. Let me tell you about it. Send me a telegram. You don't know what tonight's going to bring, let alone tomorrow. I mean, we make plans. Sure, we plan. Everyone thinks they're going to live to a ripe old age. They're going to get a little ill, not totally ill, not very badly ill, never cancer or a heart attack, nothing like that. That happens to other people. They're just going to slowly slow down, and they're going to wind up sitting quietly in a resort somewhere, a resort like a retirement community. They'll be able to take care of themselves right to the end, and they'll be surrounded by loving friends and family and die in their sleep at approximately 99 years of age. Maybe one out of 500 million might go that way, or one out of 300 million. I don't really have the numbers, but it's not happening to you. More likely, it will be a horrendous slow death, either from cancer or some other debilitating disease, or even worse yet, Alzheimer's disease, where you're left for hours at a time in a nursing home in a corner, staring at a curtain, unable to move and not knowing who you are. An orderly will beat you about the head and neck slowly with something that hides the blunt trauma and then steal the small change that your relatives bring you. I have a very strange sense of humor. So given that that's the fact of reality here and that I'm alone and that I'm in a long day's journey into night mood, I've been in one since I was about 16 years old. I'm not sad, I'm not agitated, I'm just affected by this. Because the Grim Reaper comes around and he gets closer and closer. And you see him circling and you start saying, here we go again. So what is it that you want to do with the rest of your life? You have to ask yourself this if you're a driven man as I am. I've been driven all my life. And then I go on to saying about radio. It says, I don't really care. I say, I only want my health and the health of my children, to be honest with you. But then I say, what about my poor country? What good is all this health? What good is a reasonable success if the have-nots are being brought in by the tens of millions? And if the have-nots are being told by these evildoers in politics that they can take from those who have created this? There's nothing to work for. They'll take it all away from your inheritors. They will give it away to the bums who didn't work for it. And that motivates millions of people like me. And I go into the taxation without representation, particularly here in the state of California. Then I talk about my cars, and you don't know what tomorrow brings. And I say, let me pull back. I've seen a 57 Eldorado in a garage in my neighborhood for a while now. I inquired of a neighbor's neighbor and went and looked at it yesterday. It was a 57 Eldorado restored, frame up, a really nice car. I have a 65 Caddy convertible. I have a liking for 50s and 60s cars that are perfect. I don't really have the place to put it, but I looked at it. We talked, and this gentleman is from Sweden, a very nice man. Now watch this. Every one of my stories has a political point to it. Before long, we started talking about the Muslims' attempt to take over Sweden. I said, how did you Vikings let this happen to you? He said, we were too tolerant. They came in asking for asylum. We woke up and we can't go into some cities. Don't even get my mother started, he said. My mother is vehement on this issue, that if we don't crack down on them and deport these imams, we're going to lose Sweden. And on and on and on. I said, well, look at the illegal aliens in America. Barack Obama is working around the clock to grant amnesty to 30 million illegal aliens, which will be the death of the United States of America as we know it. It will be over. As far as I'm concerned, it's a declaration of war against our sovereignty. Tens of millions of you understand what's at stake. You don't want the illegal aliens to be granted amnesty. You know what that will do to this country. You know it will give them the right to bring in 5, 10 as many relatives as they want. Within 5 years, you'll be living in Tijuana with all of the horrors of Mexico on a street corner near you. Now, if you want to live in Mexico, I suggest you go live in Mexico. But for God's sake, don't make this great nation into that corrupt socialist dictatorship called Mexico, page 82 of Psychological Nudity. So you may say they're lightweight stories, but there's a lot more to it than that. Every story has a poignant political connection. That's the whole point of it. How can you not be political if you're me? So, you know, I'm talking about my book and my writing because I cannot talk anymore about this. I'm speechless about it. What more can I say that you don't know? Tell me what more I can say. What has not yet been said? You say it for me. Okay? Albany, New York. Bernadette, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Thanks, Michael, for the many years of saying the truth. Just in case you're not here.
Even if Obama wins, God forbid, he doesn't take office till January 20th, 09. He can't suddenly pass laws the first day. It's going to take a long time till they get in gear. And they've got bigger fish to fry than conservative talk radio. They'll start with other things first. They will start by trying to destroy their political enemies in the Republican Party, and then they'll go after the talk show hosts. We're not at the top of their list. We're somewhere in the top five, I would guess. But we still live in a law where the rule of law is the rule of law. I want to ask you and Bernadette and everyone else listening to the show, do you think there's a legal precedent to focus on one division of the media whose politics are not in sync with the socialist government that will be in power and say, we want a so-called fairness doctrine for that division of the media? How in the world could that ever pass a Supreme Court review? It's impossible. Now, I could see that if they wanted to pass a so-called fairness doctrine, it would have an effect where I would get to put my opinion on ABC, CBS, and NBC in the nightly news, because that's what I'm going to sue to prove will have to be done. And believe me, I have a war chest, and I'll get a bigger one if I need it through you. And I will sue them. I will sue them right to the Supreme Court, and I will win. We live in America. We don't live in a dark dungeon that the Democrats want to dig for us.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
The Japanese have just officially laid down their arms. They have signed terms of unconditional surrender.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
We have the opportunity to move not only toward the rich society and the powerful society, but upward to the great society.
And so tonight, to you, the great silent majority of my fellow Americans, I ask for your support.
Our long national nightmare is over.
The Panama Canal Treaty of 1903. That treaty, drafted in a world so different from ours today, has become an obstacle to better relations with Latin America.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations, a new world order.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky.
I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully.
Ladies and gentlemen, the president of the Savage States of America.
I don't know if we can recover. After 16 years of Clinton Bush, maybe it's all over. They burned out the mind of the American people. Welcome to the Savage Nation. I was just musing to myself here. So we have an invented candidate from the streets of Chicago he was a college professor, hung around with Marxists, terrorists, PLO operatives, and was supposed to believe that he's left his youthful indiscretions, if you even want to call them that. The left doesn't say that being a Marxist or a terrorist is a youthful indiscretion. To them, that's something to look forward to. The only question is whether Obama will shock his support base and, in fact, leave behind himself and become a leader that is truly worthy of the title president. We don't even know, should he win. And that's why we're not going to talk about it, because we said everything that could be said. Honest to God, it's enough already. I can't, no more. Not now anyway, if you don't mind. So what I'm going to do in red instead is do this. Barbara Anderson writes columns on her own. I've never had the pleasure of meeting her, but she wrote a new one called Michael Savage Reveals Psychological Nudity. And I want to read you pieces of it because she reviewed the book and no one else will. Michael Savage has a new book out called Psychological Nudity. This is a catchy title for his gathering of stories about his life. They bear glimpses of what makes him tick. Since Savage will probably not be getting a good review from the New York Times, which he calls the old York Times, this book deserves one, so here it is. Other newspapers will also not be reviewing his book favorably. Maybe this is why they are sinking like a rock in their readership numbers. People recognize quality and truth when they see it. Thank you, Barbara. In this book of eclectic stories, she didn't say electric stories, she said eclectic stories, you will find humor and pathos given equal time. Many are about a boy growing up, finding about and fighting for his way through life. We find out about his father, who seemed to always be trying to toughen him up, to make a man of him. You know, that's worthy of a whole digression unto itself, but I'm liable to turn this into a Tristram Shandy and start doing verbal volumes on this one line. A father who seemed to always be trying to toughen him up, to make a man of him. We read the poignant story of Savage's brother, of which he had written little until recent months. His beloved mama is there, and we embrace her for the mother she was, always encouraging, always protecting him. Instead, his first story involves the electric blue saddle-stitched pants. Savage wanted those pants badly. It was probably considered a frivolous purchase because money was tight, but he wanted them. No doubt his mother did some wheedling, as mothers do, to get those pants for him. Unfortunately, in a scuffle with a boy wearing the very same pants, they were ripped. This was a very serious development. He was pretty sure he was going to be in trouble. Instead, his mother enlisted the advice of the women to get a solution. It was decided that the precious pants could be weaved back to perfection. His father did not have to know. All was well. What was operating was a sisterhood of mothers who'd look out for their kids. They protect them as well as they can, physically and psychologically. Savage muses, however, if his mama knew what a cardiotoxic diet she was giving him day after day. He wonders, quote, if the women of her generation were doing it on purpose to get rid of the males. Along with the rich foods his mama served, he also was urged to get some color. Go, go, go. Get in the sun. Get some color. How many ended up with cancer? Helped along by a well-meaning and doting mother. So described with two stories of Savage's book, Savage's Childhood Diet, Prescription for a Heart Attack, and sunburn story, Viagra wasn't around then, thankfully. How did he tie in sunburn and Viagra? Read the book. Savage's titles are tantalizing, as a good writer should be. You just have to read Dead Man's Pants. It seems he has a story about many of the people he met in his early life, but also along the way. He writes about Sam the Butcher, Woodchuck Bill, the Chestnut Man, One-Armed Frank, Louie and his Crazed Monkey, and many others. Those who turn to Savage for his insights into current affairs and political doings will not get so much of it in this book. He discusses issues such as Republicans should treat voters like customers in restaurants. Conservative Republicans know what he is talking about. The only time the Republican Party pays any attention to them is when they send out mailings asking for money. It is worth the price of the book just to read Election Results, Year 2000, and Lexus Liberals. You know, guys, get that one ready. Savage's descriptions of the Lexus Liberals is right on and stated as only he can do it. They are, quote, lost to their religion, fervent in their unbelief. Save the DNC, their new religion. Corned beef commies,
buffet Bolsheviks, jogging jokesters, stuck in Camelot fantasies, Kennedy their last idol, Hillary their personal evita, Bill their shameless shagets, Tipper their tipsy donut, Al their Shabbos goy. Who else writes like that? Al Gore gets Savage's attention in debunking man-induced global warming. He points out that, quote, less than half of published scientists endorse a global warming theory. He says that doesn't stop charlatans like Al Gore from endorsing global warming theory. The liberals that run San Francisco fall into his target range often. He has a story called Plastic Bags Banned in San Francisco, but Not Condoms. He points out logically, quote, so plastic isn't biodegradable. Then how come they distribute condoms in San Francisco like M&Ms? Aren't those made of a plastic? You're telling me that condoms don't sit in landfills for 20,000 years? You see the hypocrisy and stupidity, he asks? Surely those in control of San Francisco are the epitome of the condition Savage exposed in his popular book, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. In his book, Savage writes that his brother Jerome was given away when he was 5. The, quote, doctor assured the parents that it was best to give him away. Savage recalled that after he was gone, the little apartment became more silent than when the silent boy was there. For years afterward, I would sneak into the dresser drawer where my mother preserved his little clothing and eyeglasses. I tried them on to see if they would work. I would hold one of his laundered shirts to my nose, pressing the fabric right into my nostrils to glean a few molecules of his scent. I even wore his eyeglasses, making the room all blurry. My brother, they took him away. Savage lets us see deeply into his anguish, psychological nudity indeed. There are 75 stories in this book. All have a moral to them. All have a point to them. Savage is always watching, always talking, always writing, always teaching. He has taken us along for the ride. Wow, that is touching. Barbara, that is really good. I never met Barbara. Barbara, please come to my party Tuesday night, Barbara. I want to meet you. I'll be right back.
Savage.
You know, I got to go back to the election of the year 2000 because I remember I was in Florida at the time visiting my friend Chris Ruddy at Newsmax, and the election was going on, and we watched the results and we couldn't believe it. That's when Bush ran against Gore, and I wrote election results year 2000 and Lexus Liberals, and then I read it on the radio show. It's just when I began as a national host. I had been on a local station since 94. And I described the Lexus Liberals of Florida in a way that they had never been described before nor ever since. And I, of course, coined the phrase Gulfstream Liberals before anyone else did. But I want you to listen to my descriptions of the actual Lexus Liberals. The reason being is they're still out there, and you're going to see them again next Wednesday. Listen.
38 states said yes to Bush. 12 states said yes to Gore. Are some states more equal than other states? South Florida, for example, the land of the New York Communistic Front, the millionaires grifting off the welfare state, pretending to each other the moral indignation of the downtrodden, acting with heads held high and jaws thrust out as victims of the triangle shirtwaist fire, Lexus liberals with Volkswagens on their brains, condo commies, lunchroom Lenins, stand-up Stalins, miserable Maos, pathetic Pol Pot Marxists, using black street gangs as their body armor, stealing ballots, grifting SSI, faking disabilities, voting for Al Gore, all in a day's work, South Florida, the land of sunshine, schmoozing, and now stupidity. The whole world now knows New York Communist Democrats are too stupid to vote straight, but smart enough to twist the truth when their benefits are threatened. South Florida, the land of suntan Trotskys and delis, bypassed Bolsheviks and Buicks, air-conditioned chais and condos, loud, lewd losers in limbo, stuck between their investments and their liberalism, lost to their religion, fervent in their non-belief, save the DNC, their new religion, corned beef commies, buffet bolshies, jogging jokesters stuck in Camelot fantasies, Kennedy their last idol, a drunk, profligate warmonger covered for by his beautiful wife, Hillary, their personal Evita Peron, Bill, their shameless shagets, Tipper, their tipsy donut, Al, they're Shabbos Goy, South Florida, the land of sun and SOBs.
Not bad, Michael. Bravo. Bravo. Where is this? Oh, that's all on page 121. Some of these lines are really funny. I mean, I got to look at them just for a minute. Bypassed Bolsheviks and Buicks. Come on. Have you heard that anyway? That is so good. Oh, we have a guest coming up. Poor guy. That's a shame because the story is so serious when this guy gets on the show to go from this to that. Did you read about this one? The Port of Los Angeles has bought Chinese X-ray scanning machines with U.S. taxpayer money, and the bum who runs it, the port's director of Homeland Security, said, "Well, we're the first to acquire this Chinese system. They're the low bidder, and they comply with all the technical requirements." That's the Homeland Security Director at the Port of Los Angeles, and he says he's not troubled by any of those possibilities of the Chinese reading the scanners. He says, well, what are they going to be interested in? The vegetables coming in? Hey, moron, what they might be interested in is the contraband they put into the containers, and they'll see if anyone's going after it, you schmuck, you. What a country! He says, we don't have any heartburn about this, explains the port director. The port's Homeland Security Director. We did all the due diligence. We had to do it. We took it to our board. We're comfortable with this decision. Wait till you hear this interview. You're not going to believe this. The Port of L.A. buys Chinese X-ray scanning equipment with U.S. taxpayer money, and this putz, this schmuck from Homeland Security says he doesn't care. He's not concerned about them snooping on what he's looking at. You hear this? This is the government we have. This is under Bush. You can imagine what it's going to be under the next one if a Republican will permit this to happen. Oh, God. So let me go back to bypassed Bolsheviks in Buicks, air-conditioned chais in condos, loud, lewd, losers in limbo, all stuck between their investments and their liberalism. That's a good line. Very absurd. Corned beef commies, buffet Bolsheviks, jogging jokesters stuck. Boy, do I have them nailed. Which is the best one here? The land of suntans, Trotsky's and delis. Oh, no, no. See, there's a typo. It's the land of suntan, Trotsky's and delis, not suntans, comma, Trotsky's and delis. I got to correct that. It's the land of suntanned Trotsky's and delis. Then it's funny. Say the land of suntans, comma, and Trotsky's and delis. It's not funny. What a difference a comma makes. 24 little hours ago, bypass Bolsheviks and Buicks, good. Air-conditioned chais and condos, loud, lewd, losers in limbo. It's like the kids I went to Jamaica High School with, pretending to each other the moral indignation of the downtrodden, acting with heads held high and jaws thrust out, as though they're personally victims of the triangle shirtwaist. You got to know what the triangle shirtwaist fire is to understand who these phonies are, these people in South Florida. They vote probably in 2-3 different states, and they act like they're holier than thou. Oh, you know the type. You see them at the buffets there. The early, 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 very early, early bird. Where they have, they go to the early bird in raincoats, a lot of them. With, what do they use? What are those plastic bags? Baggies, basically, inside the raincoat to take home meatballs. If you could weigh the person before they go into the buffet there in South Florida, you know what they should really do if they want security scanners in South Florida? To keep the grifters from taking food home. I mean, they have to let them stuff their faces while they're on the line, and the bread and the sweet and low they rob in the pockets. But the only way to catch them without embarrassing the guard or getting a double reverse lawsuit from their uncle Bernie and their cousin Bernie in Jersey is to have a scale that each customer going into a buffet in South Florida would have to be weighed on the way in, right, and then weighed on the way out. And then just add, let's say, an amount for food, the amount any human being could eat, no matter how big they are, couldn't be more than a pound, let's say. But let's say the person leaves and they weigh 5 pounds more than when they came in. Boom. They get a strip search in a back room from an illegal alien from Haiti. That would put a stop to the grifting on the line. I mean, who goes to a buffet wearing a raincoat with plastic inserts? Who could take home a greasy meatball in one pocket and bread in the other and then a sweet and low in the middle pocket? I did know a guy whose uncle owned a hotel in Florida. This is interesting. He was the only one who became, like, wealthy at that time. And he owned one of the high-rises in Miami somehow. But he was known to be one of the cheapest SOBs because he grew up very poor. If this guy would go to a competitor's hotel, he would steal the sugars and the salt and peppers from the table every time he went.
And they'd say to him, Uncle Artie, why are you doing that? And he said, don't ask such stupid questions. It's the way I am, okay? Yeah, suntanned. All right, I'll be right back. Be here.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. We're coming into election weekend and, of course, election night. And then thank God it's over. Right now we have Jacob Goodwin. He's the editor-in-chief of Government Security News with another shocking story. He was last on a few years ago, I think with the Dubai ports deal, if I'm not mistaken. This story will blow your mind. Jacob, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hello there, Michael. Nice to be on again. How are you?
Jacob, I cannot believe it. The U.S. port of Los Angeles has purchased a high-energy X-ray scanning system from a Chinese manufacturer, and it's paying for it with $1.7 million in a port security grant awarded by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Were there no U.S. companies that could have supplied this?
There are U.S. companies that could have supplied it, and in fact, one of them was a bidder. There's also a British, French, German company that was another bidder. Each of those two companies bid a higher dollar amount than the Chinese company, so the Port of Los Angeles gave the bid to the low bidder, which was the Chinese company.
But wait a minute. Is everything about dollars here, or isn't it about security?
One can look at it either way, and I applaud the fact that you're looking at it with a sharp eye.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Let's start again. Department of Homeland Security is in business not to save money, but to provide security for the country. And yet they tell this guy who runs the Los Angeles ports to go for the low bidder without thinking that the Chinese are just dumping it on us in order to win the bid, that it's a state a monopoly, that they're dying to get the scanning equipment into our ports so they can do a reverse engineering on us?
All valid points. Let me just clarify a couple of quick things. The people who actually bought this scanning equipment was the Port of Los Angeles, which operates under its own rules. They operate under the procurement rules of the city of Los Angeles. And under those rules, there are no provisions which say we want to buy American and we cannot buy foreign equipment. So the Port of Los Angeles basically looked into the specifications of these three bidders, determined that all three companies were capable of technically doing what they wanted done, and then they looked at the low price. Now, you raise a good question, Michael, but from the point of view of the U.S. government, the question becomes, should we insist that the manufacturer be a U.S. company, which essentially helps employ U.S. citizens and perhaps increases security? Is that in the U.S. interest, or is it in the U.S. interest and the taxpayer interest to pay the least while trying to guarantee security?
Well, I think we're asking too many questions. This challenges all logic. To read that George Cummings, the port's director of Homeland Security, says, listen to this, in your article, we don't have any heartburn about this, says Cummings, the port's so-called Homeland Security director. We did all the due diligence we had to do. We took it to our board. We're comfortable with this decision. Jacob, tell us about the automatic digital image archiving with image review of 25,000 images or greater and a flatbed scanner to record, save, and associate, blah, blah, blah. Tell us what the Chinese could do with that if they wanted to.
The equipment, these days, an awful lot of this X-ray equipment, it not only functions on-site, but also has the ability to send images over the Internet to wherever you want. In this case, the Port of Los Angeles insisted, and this is fairly commonplace these days, insisted that this piece of equipment have the ability to be networked, which means it could send images, let's say, across the city of Los Angeles to officials elsewhere or to Washington, D.C., or, in fact, anywhere in the world that's connected to the Internet. That was one of the requirements that the system had to have. And the Chinese and the American company and the British company all said, yeah, fine, we have that capability. Now, if you want to look at the worst-case scenario, the fact is this equipment is capable of sending all of the images that they take at the Port of Los Angeles back to China, say, back to the company itself, which is called Nuketech, or back to the Chinese government, I suppose. The fact is it's unlikely. What this particular piece of equipment is going to be doing at the port is going to be inspecting the trucks that go into and out of the cruise ship center, the facility where cruise ships arrive and leave the Port of Los Angeles. And they're going to be looking at the trucks to see what is inside the trucks, whether it's food or groceries or supplies. Of course, there could be contraband. There could be a weapon of mass destruction. God only knows what could be in the truck. But in
Wait, I'm reading your article. Cummings acknowledged that the system theoretically could capture, store, and transmit such X-ray images and transmit them to China or elsewhere, but wondered who might have any interest in meaningless images of meat and groceries. That is one of the most flippantly stupid statements I've ever read from a man who's supposedly in charge of Homeland Security. Can he figure out the genius? That let us say you wanted to do this country harm. Well, let us say you don't want to do the country harm, but you want to smuggle things in. And you can read who's in the truck when, and you can send the signal by cell phone right back to someone there to say, they're inspecting that truck, move it. Or they're going to inspect that truck, make it turn over, or whatever. Get it out of there. Don't they understand that?
I think that you raise a very good point. And I have to admit, when I interviewed George Cummings, I was surprised at how blasé and flippant, to use your word, how blasé and flippant he was. He did not sound like your typical security director or security official at a port. He sounded to me as though he would just as soon my story went away. Let's not alarm this fellow Goodwin. Let's keep it calm. Let's say we followed all the protocols. We followed all the procedures. There's really nothing here. Now, I'm not suggesting that there is any great scandal here. I know you're more excited about it than I am. But there's, I must admit, I was a bit surprised, and I've been a journalist for a long time, at just how cavalier this gentleman was about what clearly was a controversial decision. And I've since heard, since I wrote the story, that, you know, there were quite a few people were looking at this a year ago, back when the contract was determined. And it had raised considerable concerns within the powers that be. And I thought that he blew off the answers a little too cavalierly.
Well, your article, I think, is up on michaelsavage.com. We've linked it. I don't see it yet. It may be there, may not. I want to make a big feature out of it. Let the people decide. But the question to me becomes this, Mr. Goodwin. If I read the headline, Port of L.A. buys Chinese X-ray scanning system with U.S. taxpayer money, two things occur to me. Why is the Port of L.A. not buying American, buying U.S.-made products, number one? Number two, why is the Department of Homeland Security not demanding that products that are of equal quality be bought in the U.S.? And number three, why is the issue of security not on the mind of this man Cummings?
Well, let me take three first. I mean, security would be on the mind of this man Cummings. He's the director of Homeland Security at the port. That's his job. It was on his mind. But the good question to take up is question number one, and that is, should any authority in the United States, whether it's the federal government in Washington or the Port of Los Angeles in the city of Los Angeles, should we adopt a policy where essentially they say we're only going to buy American? Have we seen enough jobs go offshore, in this case to China, to build the equipment, or it could go to India, or it could go to Great Britain, it could go to Germany? Have we seen enough of that such that there should be Buy America laws in virtually all of these departments and states and city governments? You probably know, Michael, that many procurements made by the Defense Department do have clauses called Buy America clauses, which insist that these products for the national defense be bought here in the United States. But beyond the Defense Department, it's not very common, and certainly when you get out beyond Washington to the city of Los Angeles, it's extremely uncommon to have that type of clause.
Now, you also note in the article that this equipment was not originated, meaning it was not developed originally in China, that they actually may have reverse-engineered the X-ray technology originally developed by Western companies. Is that true?
I am unable to tell you definitively. I've talked to people who suggest and who are very familiar with the Western technology as originally devised by American companies, British companies, German companies, that the technology that turned up in the Nuke Tech system looks remarkably similar. I'm not going to tell you that it was reverse engineered. I will say that knowledgeable people who know this field believe it might be. Now, when I heard
you also write the following. You say the possibility that the Chinese company may have had its price subsidized by the government of the PRC, the dictatorship, the People's Republic of China, and the notion that Nuke Tech may have engaged in illegal dumping by offering its product below its own manufacturing costs in order to get it into America. Doesn't that enter the genius George Cummings' mind?
Well, I think it entered his mind, but he was more focused on price than on the question of whether his supplier was dumping. Again, even the companies that were the losers in the bid, and one of them was Smith's Detection, and the other one is a company in California, in fact, called Rapiscan. Neither of those two companies yet have taken any legal steps to argue that this was an example of dumping. Although at a meeting a week ago, I raised the question in front of one of the Rapiscan executives, and he acknowledged that it was a tricky issue, that they were thinking about the question of dumping but had not made any decision. But he then went on to say that his own company had moved some of the manufacturing offshore, in this case to the People's Republic of China, in basically in response to the competitive threat that Nuketech represents.
Isn't and that so wonderful?
There is this issue.
Yeah, well, we could wake up in a few months and find out that the bottom line mentality has reached such a point that we're now using Chinese military offices to run our military because they work for less. What kind of thinking is that?
It's the sort of thinking that corporations are forced into when they're trying to make a profit and they're under pressure from worldwide competitors who were able to underbid them, either because their labor rates are lower or because...
Well, I guess that Franklin Delano Roosevelt could have continued to buy tanks from Germany. After all, they made a nice tank. The Germans had good tank lines. They made the Panzer and the Tiger. Why couldn't they just make tanks for us that might have blown up in the middle of battle? You know, this kind of stupidity is what's killing this country. You know that, and I know it. And I only hope that your article triggers, yeah, I'm going to say it, but I don't believe it, a congressional investigation, sure. Like they'll do anything other than attack each other. Anyway, Jacob Goodwin of Government Security News has disclosed that the Port of L.A. has bought Chinese X-ray scanning equipment with U.S. taxpayer money. I really thank you for the article. Thank you very much for being on the Savage Nation.
You're very welcome. Always a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks, Jacob. Well, that article deserves attention by even Fox and Friends. I mean, if they could take my idea for, could Obama pass an FBI or Secret Service exam, which he couldn't, which I ran 3 weeks ago, they ran this morning. I only hope that Fox and Friends producer steals this one for the sake of America. I mean, this is a topic that should be on every television station. It's not my story, it's Jacob's story. And we're going to get it up on michaelsavage.com. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. What a depressing story that is about scanners for our ports finally being purchased, and they're being made in China. Oh, my God, there's no end to the Quislings in our country. There's no end to the Quislings in our country. Now, what was I thinking about before I was so rudely interrupted with reality? I was having a nice reverie about Lexus liberals and elections 2000 and the election being between McCain and Marx. I can't remember where I was going with it, but it was something along those lines. And so I'll open it up to you at the Savage Nation switchboards at 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. And, God, this will be over. What are you going to do with yourself when all the pundits have nothing to tell you next Thursday? Oh, Wednesday, they'll be dissecting it. You can just see the dunces on the channels already. They've got what do they wear, those vests? Safari jackets. They're going to get them ready, and they're going to look tired in the middle of the night. They love that. They love that, to look with the coffee and a little bit of the beard. You know, like they're really under combat stress. You know? What do you want to talk about here? I got a depressive. Marsha, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. Oh, my God, I've been waiting months to talk to you. I just wanted to relate the story about people putting food in their pockets. I was going to the Catskill Mountains. I was
Wait. Oh, let me savor this. I'm being saved by somebody with a sense of sarcasm. Thank you. We're talking about people who steal from buffet lines by putting food in their pockets. Go. God bless you. Let me hear.
I was probably 7 or 8 years old. We were at a very illustrious hotel in the Catskill Mountains, you know, upscale hotel. Even though we didn't have money, my grandparents took us. And I remember it was a breakfast buffet, and there were women with mink coats and diamonds putting danishes in their pockets.
What was it, Grossinger's or the Concorde?
Concorde. And I said to my mother, Ma, what are they doing? And she said, depression mentality.
Wow, your mother was very astute.
Yep.
But you know, Marcia, they're still around. They're still in South Florida.
I know.
They still think that Democrats are good for them.
But I tell you, when you told me that story, it just flashed back to my childhood. And I wanted to relate one other thing on a serious note. I had a brother who was Down syndrome, who was taken from us also. In those days, they didn't know what to do, you know.
How old was he when he was taken from the home?
3.
Oh, God. And the doctors all said it's better for the healthy children, right?
Yes. And I'll tell you the story. My mother had blood poisoning when she was pregnant with him, but she was already far in her pregnancy. And I remember they saved my mother. And to this day, I think, you know, my mother's still alive. She's 89. And I think to this day, she thinks that the penicillin that they shot her up with to save her life, you know, caused my brother's problem. But, of course, it had nothing to do with that because she was way into her pregnancy at that point.
I don't want to, you know, bring up terribly difficult memories, but your brother obviously died in a horrible nursing in a home, right?
Place in Staten Island.
You're kidding. The same place. They sent them. Wiltwyck?
Willowbrook.
Willowbrook. Oh, my God. I got chills up my spine. What a cesspool. They treated people so like Middle Ages in those days.
It was terrible. And I remember.
How old was he when he died finally?
Well, they said he wouldn't have lived past the age of 21, but he died when he was 8.
He died when he was 8?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the doctor, when they told my family to give him away, said he would only live a few years.
Yeah.
He lived 20 years in one hellhole after another. And he died after being attacked and bitten on most of his body by a maniac, housed there with helpless, innocent souls unable to defend themselves. Listen, Marcia, these days hopefully are over in America.
Yes, but I want to just say one thing. You know, I was very young, so of course, you know, my memories are faded. But I remember the sadness. You know, the sadness in the house was unbelievable. And
well, Marcia, we could talk about it. I have said to this day, you never get over such a trauma of a child in the family who was given away. Thank God today things have changed, and the children, you know, stay home and they get some therapy, and people learn to relate to them. And I've said yesterday on the show, Marcia, I don't know anybody who's made worse by a disabled or handicapped sibling. Everyone I know who has been, let us say, exposed to such a situation, the best in them comes out, not the worst. I have never seen a situation where people become mean towards them. They usually, the good comes out in them. That's been my observation.
Absolutely. But
the doctors of that generation cursed them all. Cursed them all for their ignorance and their cruelty.
Michael, can I indulge you just for one more minute? When I've been listening to you for a very long time, and I feel that you're probably a long-lost member of my family because, number one, I lived in the Bronx for most of my life. I was a Bronx girl. And then I moved to Forest Hills when I got my first apartment.
No, now we're getting too personal. I can't go there with you.
And after Forest Hills, I was very lucky, and I lived in Manhattan.
Hold it now. And if you wind up telling me you collected plants in the Fiji Islands, I'm going to see a psychiatrist.
No, I moved to Manhattan. I was very lucky.
No, you see, this is where I diverged from my past, to get away from all that, to get away from all that sadness, to get away from that gestalt of depression. I left and went as far away as I could. And people don't know that part of me. I lived in the South Pacific for years. I collected plants for years. I invested my entire life in worlds that most people don't even know exist. And I rarely talk about it. But that's how I got away from that whole well of sadness. You know what I'm saying, Marcia?
Yes, I do. And I want one other thing, Michael. You know, when you told the story the other night about your dog Snowy?
Yeah.
I really saw who you are, okay? I've known who you are because of your truth and your wisdom, but I really saw who you are inside when you told that story. I was sitting here all by myself, and I started to cry. I was crying through that entire story.
Well, it's sad. I mean, to watch anyone die, you know, we're compassionate people. And, you know, you see a dog when you say, come on, Snowy, let's run. And you see her eyes trying to run, and she thinks she's running, and she's laying there on the ground dying. What can it do to you but, you know, bring a terrible feeling to your heart? Because we see ourselves lying in the grass at the last days of our life, Marcia, if we are so lucky. Marcia, do you have a copy of my book yet?
I don't, because I don't have...
You got it. Stay on the line. Free copy. Psychological Nudity goes to Marcia. cheer her up, give us some hope, give us some sadness, give us some life.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
On a dead man's chest, yo ho ho, and a bottle of rum. Drink, and the devil had done
all the rest. Yo ho ho, and a bottle of rum. Who love rum, rum, rum? Who love rum?
The mate was fixed by the bosun's pipe.
Bosun brain with a marlin spike. Cookie's throat was marked in dyke.
It had been gripped by fingers ten.
There they lay, all good dead men.
Break a day in a boozing pen.
Bottle of rum. Bottle of rum. We are just listening to some Skip Henderson songs here. And here we are. It's raining on the West Coast. Finally, thank God, it's over the summer. I can breathe again. I've got a few good months until the dreaded spring again. Here come the allergies. I've sworn every year I'm going to be out of here in the spring. I die from March till July 1. I got to move to the ocean somewhere. Ocean, Florida. Every year I buy a house in Florida and then cancel it. Because the thought, I can't live there. I can't live around the Bolsheviks. I can't do it no matter how I try. How am I going to live around the corned beef commies? How am I going to live around jogging jokesters? How am I going to live around air-conditioned Chase in their Buicks? How am I going to do it? It's impossible. I can't go there. I don't think I get along there. It's all commie. I mean, you talk about flux. Other than the Cubans in Miami who understand what communism is, they know what the Brothers Castro are, and they know that Obama speaks exactly the same language as the Brothers Castro. And let's say a few pockets of conservatism in Florida, the whole peninsula in South Florida now on the Atlantic coast is Brooklyn South, triangle shirtwaist fire, lipstick up to the nose. I can't go there. So if you say you can sit in your house and look at the ocean, how long can you look at an ocean? You got to go out of your house every once in a while, and the minute you do, boom, you're dead. Boom, over. You're going to go and see them there, the posturing, the hypocrisy. Suddenly they love Obama. They love Obama. Why they love Obama? Because they hate McCain. Why do they hate McCain? Because he's a Republican. That's all. Like robots, like automatons. Play Bottle of Rum better. What am I musing here for?
15 men on a dead man's chest. Yo-ho-ho and a bottle of rum. Drink and the devil had done for the rest. Yo-ho-ho and a bottle of rum.
All right, you got the picture already. I'm in one of these crazy, whacked-up moods. I mean, because who can tell? I'm delirious. You know, I'm thinking already ahead to election night. I know what's coming already. Wolf Blitzer will need a box of the pens in the green room. He's going to be so excited to tell you every 2 seconds that Obama won, almost won. He's about to win. Look where the numbers show. We've done outside tracking, inside tracking, underneath tracking. We're in their underwear. We're in their pajamas. And they're going to be like Mickey Rooney after he leaves an old age home. He's going to need how early they start telling you who won. Every second they tell you who. I resent it living on the West Coast. Can't you shut your mouths and let the people go into the voting booth? You know what you're doing. You know you're trying to deter the people from voting for a conservative or Republican who are not the one and the same. They're going to start giving us early returns, very early returns, the earlier returns. Then they'll say, Fox did it first, we did it second, we didn't mean to do it, they did it, so we did it, we had to do it, we had to be competitive, and he did it first, the wall banger did it first, he did it at noon, we did it at 12:01, don't blame us, blame the government, if there were rules, we'd follow them, we don't follow them, there are no rules, there's no government, so we're going to tell you who won the election as we've been doing for the last 6 months anyway. May as well not have an election because we know more anyway. Last night I heard that John McCain actually had the stupidity to go on Larry King. Larry King being the gutter rat of gutter rats, in my humble opinion. I mean, I know this guy is a lowlife in my estimation. But him and Andrea Mitchell look to me like they're cut from the same bolt of cloth. So McCain goes on to Larry King, and Larry King sets him up with a real slime ball question. Listen to clip 16.
Do you see race as any factor in this race?
Look, there's racism in America. We all know that because we can't stop working against it. But
Okay, that's it for me. Stop it. Again, took the bait. Mr. Schmuck takes the bait. Larry King asks John McCain if any race a factor in this race? And there goes the schmuck McCain already. Yeah, Larry, sure, we know it's there. We got to fight against it, Larry. The answer is, of course there's racism. 96% of blacks are voting for Obama. Does that answer your question? And if 1% of whites don't vote for him, they're all racists? That would have been the answer. John, oh my God, not presidential material. This boy from the Bronx is more presidential material than this Schmendrick. You know, stop already. He flew a Navy jet and got shot down. I can't take it. I can show you 5 great military leaders who amounted to as a politician. You know, nothing. Zero. I mean, give the man his due, but just because he flew a jet doesn't mean he knows what he's talking about. I voted for him anyway in the early. I had to. It's either a choice between Bush 3 or Marx 2. I took Bush 3. I said that to you before. But my God, what is wrong with this guy? But it gets worse. Listen to what he says next, McCain, in 17.
I have faith in the American people that they'll make the judgment for the best of reasons, not the worst of reasons.
So it'll be a small minority that would vote, say, against.
It'd be a teeny minority. It would be a teeny, teeny minority.
No, let me pause right there. It'll be a teeny minority that would vote based on race. So you mean 96% of blacks who are going to vote for Obama, that's a teeny minority? Oh, no. You see, only whites can be racist to these two schmucks. Only whites are capable of race and racism. Blacks certainly can't because they're an oppressed minority. So how do you explain the fact that 96% of blacks are voting for Obama other than a race? Does that make them a racist? Well, not necessarily. I'm sure some of them are racist, but not all of them are. They're voting based upon his politics. So how can you then argue that if whites don't vote for Obama, they're doing it based on race? You can do it if you're Larry King and you're lower than a gutter rat. And you can answer the question the way John McCain did if you're a schmuck who doesn't know what you're talking about. Look what I have to do for a living. Utah, Leon, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, great talking to you. I want to add a little levity to your afternoon. I ordered your book, and it seemed like forever for it to come, and it was torturous waiting for it. And it reminded me of when I was 8 years old, and I ordered my Roy Rogers ring for 50 cents. And every single day I went to the mailbox to wait for that Roy Rogers ring. And it was the same with your book, and finally it came, and I just love it. And
that's
like
nice. I think it's going to become a cult classic, because a cult classic. I think the book will become a cult classic for two reasons. One, because I am, and two, because it's going to be bought on my website. You can't even find it in a bookstore.
My favorite story is the one about your geometry teacher with two fingers.
And, oh, the old IRA guy.
And I went to a Catholic school, and I had nuns who taught me. And you mentioned how he wasn't shy, and the principal was the pastor of the church. And if we did anything to anger the nuns or to hurt them in any way or embarrass them in any way, he was not embarrassed at all to have us bend over the desk and take a 3-foot ruler and put welts on our butt. And he didn't, but he wasn't charged.
Well, this teacher couldn't do it because it was a public high school, Leon. But as I mentioned in the book, when he said to you the midterm exams are back, he would read out every name in every grade publicly. And he did that because he understood that by doing well, you were proud of yourself and the other kids looked up to you. And by doing poorly, you were ashamed of yourself and you would try to do better. And then I write, but now because the liberal nuts took over the schools where they try to put perversion ahead of everything else, they have now taken dummies and tried to make them better than the smarties. Consequently, the schools can't even teach Johnny how to add or read. And if Johnny isn't smart enough and he can't focus at all, they put him on Ritalin to dope him up and turn him into a sissy and a dumbbell who can't do anything except sit in a cubicle for the rest of his life and work for Google. But now, Mr. W, but then I write, now how Mr. W lost his fingers is another story. We all heard the rumors. It was whispered in the halls of the high school that he lost his fingers, and I'm not glorifying it, planning a bomb for the IRA. Now, I don't know whether it was true, but it was certainly enough to make us understand not to mess around with this teacher, and we didn't. We respected him. Whether it was true or not is irrelevant. That's whom we had for teachers in those days. Many tough men, most of them vets from World War II. Now, compare them to the teachers of today. Compare them to the teachers of today with nose rings and body rings. Half of them come into school and talk about their lesbian lover. That's what they have for teachers today.
Days, Michael.
To better times. Let's drink to better times. 1-800-449-8255. Luxurious lifestyles take a hit. That's up on my website. It says, F. Scott Fitzgerald, I remember this, wrote that the very rich are different from you and me. But in the current financial meltdown, the rich are cutting back like the rest of us. It's an interesting story. I remember someone changed that Scott Fitzgerald statement to this. The very rich are different from you and me. ... They have more money. I like that one. That was good. Here's another article up on the website. Gay Rads Panicked, The People's Voice May Be Heard, which is very interesting because they're shocked to find out that no matter what they've deluded themselves into believing, marriage is only between a man and a woman. No matter what Jerry Brown says, no matter what Dianne Feinstein says, no matter what the mayors say, the people will be heard. We still live in a democracy. We don't live in a dictatorship. And they don't want gay marriage to stand. They hate it. They know it's an abomination to their children's brain. And they're going to vote it out. And, you know, all the pollsters are going to be seen for what they are, shills for the left-wing agenda, period, end of story. I'll be back. Be here or be absolutely nowhere. Savage. In just 6 months, five of the nation's top 25 newspapers have lost more than 10% of their subscribers. Another 11 have lost more than 5%. Here in my hometown of San Francisco, the Sad Chronicle, which was once a fine newspaper, not a great one, but a fine, it was a good paper when I moved here in the 70s, but it fell into the hands of radicals of the type that would support Obama blindly without looking at his policies. And these radical morons have run the Chronicle down in the last 6 months by 7%. So right here in San Francisco, for example, they have a circulation of 339,000. That's all they have left. Can you believe that the USA, let's go to another, a big one. Here's one, LA Times. LA Times lost 5% of its circulation in the last 6 months. It's down to 739,000 copies distributed a day. God, I don't know if that many are read. They're distributed. New York Post down 6% to 625,000. Daily News, New York down 7% to 632,000. You know, I have a listenership that's estimated to be 8 to 10 million listeners a week on the Savage Nation. Sometimes I don't even realize that my circulation on a daily basis is larger, for example, or almost equal to that of the New York Times. If they're doing a million people a day, well, guess what? I have a larger readership or listenership than the New York Times. My listenership is certainly larger than my hometown newspaper. Now, you have to ask yourself, why is there a meltdown in the newspaper business? Well, there are many reasons, and we all know about the advertising. But remember, you know that to be the reason only because those in the newspaper business are feeding you that is the reason they're going out of business. That's one of the reasons newspapers are in decline, but it's not the only reason. The main reason newspapers are losing readers in droves is because of their far-left socialist news articles. Every other article is gay or lesbian. Every other article is about the myth of global warming. Every other article is about the evils of the businessman. And, of course, every newspaper every day has shown the famous Reuters picture of Obama with a halo. I intended not to endorse anyone for this election prior to this week. But the more I have learned about Obama, the more I realize I cannot sit on the sidelines. And so I have to officially say, and sadly so, that I am going to endorse John McCain for whatever it's worth. You may say, oh, who listens to that guy, Savage? What does an endorsement from him mean? It means more than you may imagine. It means much more than you may imagine. An endorsement from Michael Savage means more than an endorsement from Newsday, the Chicago Tribune, the New York Post, the Daily News, the Los Angeles Times, the Star Ledger, the Plain Dealer, the Detroit Free Press, the Oregonian, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the San Diego Union-Tribune, the Sacramento Bee. Michael Savage's daily circulation is larger than any one of these newspapers. I have millions of listeners, most of whom, by the way, are independents. In case you don't know it, they're not all conservative. Most of my audience are independents, and they've been waiting for some kind of signal as to which way to go. They despise what Bush has done to this country as much as you do, as much as I do. And I've said so. I've been the harshest critic of Bush imaginable. And I understand that John McCain is really not that much different in so many ways that it's very hard to endorse him. I don't care whether he comes on this show or not. It wouldn't do a thing for my ratings. Remember, what is a rating in radio? A one-show rating jump means nothing. This is a grueling, grueling long-term business. It occurs over a long, long period of time. So a spike in a listenership for a day means next to nothing. He's been on shows that aren't one-tenth the size of mine, and no one knows who these shows are. And I have to put my own ego aside, and I have to say what's best for America. I'll take my chances with the old war horse and even Sarah Palin, who I'm not a big fan of, by the way, over this naked Marxist revolutionary, because I don't want to see what the next Pol Pot's liable to do to the world. Savage Nation, here comes a challenge to you wonderful, compassionate progressives out there. Here's the article. Two arrested for hanging Obama effigy on Kentucky campus. University of Kentucky student and other men were arrested today, accused of hanging a life-size likeness of Barack Obama from a tree on the campus. Now, here's the question. How come the gays who hung an effigy of McCain and Palin in West Hollywood didn't get hit with anything? Why is the Obama Gestapo permitted to have detectives investigate someone who hangs the effigy of an Obama effigy and arrest them now? Now, I'd like to know how they can be arrested for this. Both were being held now. These are students at a detention center on charges of disorderly conduct related to the hanging of the effigy. They were charged with burglary and theft in a fraternity house. Lieutenant Tina Strange, indeed, a deputy jailer at the detention center, said they were being held on $7,600 bond. Monroe said the two men told detectives they decided to hang the effigy after seeing media reports about a Sarah Palin effigy in California. Now, I wouldn't hang an effigy. It's not my style, but these are kids. And they have every right to express themselves any way they want, particularly since the two gay characters in West Hollywood hung an effigy of Sarah Palin from his yard and thought it was just so sweet. The creep eventually took it down after people complained about it. But these students shouldn't be arrested. And I'm going to say right here on the Savage Nation, that if you are listening to this show anywhere in the area of Kentucky or you're a family member of these students, I will help them with a legal defense. I will send them money. Both Joe Fisher, age 22, and Hunter Bush, age 21, of Lexington, Kentucky, these kids should sue the police chief and sue the creepy college president who did this to them. The president of the University of Kentucky, Lee Todd, should be arrested for doing this to the students. This creep, the president says, the effigy violates the university's code of ethics, and they could face punishment. Well, my friend, Mr. Todd, if this is what you have become, another little martinet, Obama fascist, you know where you belong? You belong in China, not in America. So again, I offer these young men, not because I agree with the effigy, because it's not my style. But what's good for the goose is good for the gander, isn't it? We can hang an effigy of Sarah Palin and say I'm sorry and take it down. Why can't they say I'm sorry? They said they expressed remorse for a stunt that had gotten out of hand. That should be enough already. But the college campuses are Marxist hotbeds, and America will become a hotbed of Marxism if we let this Marxist Obama win. This is an example of it. You understand that? You understand the danger you're in right now? Sacramento, Dennis, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael. The main problem in America today is that about 30 to 40% of people living in this country do not like their own country. Obama is one of those, and the Obamatons will never be patriots. They hate everything about traditional Christian America and don't see anything wrong with feeling that way. So I'm sick of people saying...
Well, yes, these guys are major league deconstructionists because they were brainwashed by the Marxist theoreticians of the 60s who taught them that America needs to be broken down and rebuilt in the image of Karl Marx. Make no mistake about it, Barack Hussein Obama is an ardent lifetime Marxist. He may not even know it himself. But his policies reflect, his writings, his speeches reflect that.
Well, I'm sick of people saying that you can't question my patriotism. Well, what patriotic deed have any of these people done? Their idea of patriotism is to tear down their own country. And conservatives say, oh, if we could just show them who Obama really is, they wouldn't vote for him. Well, Obama is a communist, but these people like that about him. That's the problem.
Well, there is no problem to them. They're going to win, and they're going to reshape America in their image. This is going to be Bill Ayers' wild card dream. The 60s radicals are within smelling distance of shattering America for good. They know it. They finally have hit the quinilla. You understand that?
Yeah, but what is the tipping point going to be for patriots? Is it going to be when they take away talk radio? Is it going to be when we...
Hold it. Let's stop right there. They're not taking away conservative talk radio. They couldn't do it. It's illegal. It's impossible. It cannot happen here. Let me repeat again. It cannot happen here. It cannot be done. You cannot say we want a fairness doctrine, but we're going to apply it only to one spectrum of one of the media, of one of the mediums. We're going to only apply it to conservative talk radio. Now, how does that hold up in court? Can you explain that to me?
I have no idea.
Well, I do have an idea. It can't. So we sue them. I have a war chest. I can raise money. The conservative media itself will fight back, and we will bring lawsuits against those who try to do this to us. I will sue each and every one of them personally if they try to do it. We will find a way to unseat them and unmask them. But the most important thing to remember is not to be afraid of them. They're a bunch of skinny little twerps. They're cowards. Look them in the eye. Don't be afraid of them. Stop fearing these people. Take a look at the kids running around the streets with Obama signs. Look at these skinny little white boys with pimples on their faces, aping people in jail with pants falling down under their behinds. That's something for you to fear? That's something for you to fear? What's wrong with you people? What are you so afraid of? They're going to expose themselves for the little martinets that they are. We are still living in a nation of laws. We still have a moderately conservative or centrist Supreme Court. There is no way this holds up. There is no way that the radio industry itself can comply with this. Moreover, there will be a boomerang effect. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. You want a fairness doctrine? Be careful what you wish for, you little liberal martinet morons, because we'll make sure that ABC, CBS, and NBC have to run conservative commentary every time one of their little minions puts out another camouflage smokescreen of support for a socialist or leftist opinion or cause. They can't comply with that either. How is this going to be managed? It's impossible. So stop worrying about it. I'm not worried about it. There are other things to worry about other than, you know, talk radio. 1-800-449-8255. The article is finally up on michaelsavage.com. Let me see where it was put. It is on the top left, I believe, and you should read it and weep. Port of L.A. buys Chinese X-ray scanner with U.S. taxpayer money. That's the gentleman we had on the show in the last hour. And take a look at the dunce who runs the L.A. ports. Take a look at what this man says so flippantly in his remarks about why the scanner being made in China doesn't worry him at all. Take a look at what the passes for Homeland Security today. Take a look at what this monstrosity called Homeland Security has become at the upper levels. Take a look at it and weep. And if you think it's bad now, it's going to get worse. Underneath it is another article, this one from the World Tribune. Mr. Gates has dropped Islamist from the characterization of terrorism. And if you don't know who Mr. Gates is, you'll find out who he is. You should know who Mr. Gates is. He's just another politician. Unfortunately, he's our defense secretary. And he has now dropped the word Islamist because of the political pressures of CARE. He is now calling them violent extremists in his speeches. Gates on October 15th said, quote, "In violent extremism, we face an adversary today that seeks to eject all Westerners and blah, 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 blah." He will not use the word Islamist or Islamofascism. And let me tell you something right now. Barack Obama now wants him to be his defense secretary. Several left-wing Democrats have said Gates should stay on if Obama wins the election. An appeal that has not been rejected by Gates, according to a Pentagon spokesman. A U.S. Central Command of Red Team of Experts, however, stated in a recent report that honest reports require labeling the terrorists as Islamic and jihadists, since the roots of the violence lie in Islamic law. The controversial report called for, quote, "freedom of speech in jihad analysis," unquote, and sought to debunk the State Department and DHS reports claiming that the use of Islamic terms in describing terrorists was offensive speech and was opposed by some U.S. Muslim groups. We now have the gelding of our top leadership in America, a gelding by the group called CAIR, who I know very well indeed. And if you think it's bad, you're right. And if you think it's going to get worse, you're even more right. And if you think it's going to reach a point of critical mass, you're even more right. Unfortunately, you're left. You're left to twist in the wind by the new government. The new government, the PC government, that even Mr. Gates, Defense Secretary Robert Gates, is already kowtowing to in advance. This is the way the wind blows, my friends, and these men are all politicians. And make no mistake about it, like Bob Dylan said, they know which way the wind blows, and it doesn't matter whether it's patriotic winds or not. All that matters, they keep their cushy jobs, and they come into their nice oak-paneled offices, and they get to go to the White House. That's all they darn well care about, any one of them. Okay, what can I do about it? Nothing. All I can do is speak out. And even this they don't want. They don't even want us to speak out. Even that threatens them. That's fascism, my friends. When the last vestige of outrage is gone from the media, what does that tell you you're living in? Dictatorship. That's what Nancy Pelosi wants. That's what Obama wants. And make no mistake about it, that's what probably 50% of the Republicans want. They do not want any scrutiny at all, which is certainly bad for democracy. And I'm quite surprised that true liberals would want a fairness doctrine. If they only understood that when Cardinal Niemöller, who lived through Nazism, who was, by the way, Cardinal Niemöller is an interesting character in Germany. He opposed Hitler, and he wrote the following when he wound up in one of the prison camps himself. He said, "When they came for the communists, I did not raise my voice because I was not a communist. When they came for the Jews, I did not raise my voice because I was not a Jew. When they came for the gypsies, I did not raise my voice because I'm not a gypsy. And when they came for me, there was no one left to raise their voice. But you liberals have long shown me who you really are. You are not liberals at all. You are something other than liberal. You have become your worst enemy. You become everything you've feared all your life. You have become the enemy." Play Bob Dylan. "You don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows.
get boxed, get back, ride rail, get jail, jump bail, join the army if you fail. Look out, kid, you're gonna get hit by losers, cheaters, six-time users, hanging around the theaters. Girl by the whirlpools, looking for a new fool. Don't follow leaders, or watch your parking meters.
Don't follow leaders, eh, Bob? But you're following Obama pretty good, aren't you? I guess all those motorcycle accidents added up. I'll be right back.
Learn to dance, get dressed, get blessed.
Savage.
Danny Thomas, great, great star. Really is. And I kid about Danny many, many times. It's good to see you again, Danny, and all the baloney about the Jewish people and the Egyptians with war. Nonsense. I love and respect you. I say this from my heart in your native tongue. Masalamaha limikai mahana. Which means I never want you around me. You understand that, Danny?
Now, this is ethnic humor from the late 60s by Don Rickles, and it was funny, and it was in good taste, and everybody enjoyed it, and nobody got mad. Now, look where we've fallen today. Where you have a creepy college president who says to kids, well, okay, you saw a Sarah Palin effigy hanging, so you made one of Obama. I'm putting you in jail. That's the country you want to live in? That's your idea of liberalism and diversity and progressive politics, you idiots, you? You have become your worst nightmare. You are the enemy of your own self, and it's going to come around to haunt you as well. What do you think? Because you watch that cable channel, MSLGBT, Microsoft Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transsexual News, that you know everything, you dopes, you? Pauline, New York, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. I have to say that last segment was so depressing. And I
Wait, what segment?
What you were just talking about.
All right, what's up? Fire away, Pauline. What's on your mind?
Okay, I was just basically calling about your book that I really enjoyed hearing your stories.
Yes.
Basically, it's the highlight of my night, hearing those stories.
Oh, that's very sweet. So you're reading it slowly. What's your favorite story?
The story that really triggered a memory for me was the Dead Man's Pants.
Why?
It reminded me of my mom. She always bought me a coat, like three sizes too big.
So you'd grow into it, right?
Yeah, she would alter it, and every year she would, like, let down the sleeves and alter it for me. And it just,
oh, poor baby. No, I understand it very well. Look, Pauline, our parents, you're probably the same age bracket, went through the Depression. So they, you know, they were afraid they'd be poor again. And they figured you're a growing girl. How could they buy you a size that fits you? There's 3-4 years in one coat there.
And also the story you mentioned with in your bedroom with the heat coming up and the hissing radiator.
Yeah. Oh, I miss those East Coast hissing radiators on a wintry night. It's one of the things I miss on the West Coast. I've been out of it forever. The heat, they don't know how to heat a house out here. Hey, thank you, lady. I appreciate it very much. I am in a good mood. I don't know what's wrong with me. I feel like pinching myself. I better see a doctor tonight. Something's wrong. I feel good. I don't know what's wrong. I started out today a nightmare day, and it got worse. Nightmare. I didn't want to get out of bed today. Then an old friend of mine, AD, calls me, and he says, it was a horror. Artie, I'm so sorry for you. His son died on a sporting field. A mature son dropped dead with no prior, nothing. And he had to fly to the East and bury him. I said, Artie, God, I can't handle this. Then I got worse. I went back to bed. To drag myself into the studio today to do the show, but I got to tell you, right now I feel better. And that's why I'm worried. I may have to see a psychiatrist tonight to find out why I should feel better rather than worser after this show. But that's something for a shrink to figure out. This is something that I can't quite understand. I think it's my audience. I think it's you. I think you people, I know what it is. You're happy with my book. And you've reaffirmed my reason to live, my raison d'être. In other words, a man who creates as much as I have in my life lives for the creation and for the accolades. In other words, it's one thing to do a radio show and you hear the audience and they tell you they like you. It's a lot. It's very hard to do it every day. And so that's why a lot of people have to go out and do lecture tours. I hate traveling and I don't like hotels, so I don't do lecture tours or audiences, hardly ever. But I miss, you know, a live audience. Then you write books, and what do you know? People buy them, and you get a royalty report. But very few authors are as lucky as I am in radio, where I could have you call me and say, well, I liked End of Day Glass, or I liked the Dead Man's Pants, or I liked My Silent Brother, or whatever. It reaffirms my existence. You know what I'm saying to you? And I want to thank you for doing that for me. I thank you very, very much for giving back to me some of what I've tried to give to you. That's all I can say about it. I don't know how else to put it, because being my own shrink, I just figured out why I feel good today. So I guess I don't have to go to the Irish bar. I don't know what. Oh, I know what. It's raining, and I love the rain. And because when it rains, I want to put on, like, warm clothing and go down to a bar with darts and beer and friends. Unfortunately, there's no bar with darts and beer. And certainly not friends. So I think I'll stay home tonight with the dog and watch television after I get off the radio. Oh, Lord, it's been a wonderful day today. Port of L.A. buys Chinese X-ray scanner with U.S. taxpayer money. Don't miss that story up on michaelsavage.com. Gates drops Islamist from characterization of terrorism. That is so depressing. It's sickening. 16 pirates died after handling substance on captured Iranian ship. You hear? Gee, I wonder what the substance might be. I wonder what they were carrying from the Iranian ship that the Iranians say they don't have. When are the Israelis going to wake up that they're going to be dead if they don't act? What's happened to Israel? What has happened to them? In the last engagement with Hezbollah, they lost. They were afraid of world opinion. If the Jews had worried about world opinion before World War II, which they couldn't because no one cared about them, they wound up in a concentration camp. The reason Israel was created so there would never be another concentration camp, with Jews being roasted to death and tortured to death. The phrase and motto used to be never again. It looks to me like what's going on in Israel today is a little different than never again. It looks like again and again and again. What are they waiting for? The approval of George Bush? Or Obama, you think, is going to give them the go-ahead to prevent themselves from dying? Because once Iran gets a nuclear weapon, there's nothing they will be able to do to defend themselves. Nothing. It'll be all over. And yet they've done nothing but fetch and complain for years. They're about to get it. They almost got it. Iran almost did it. They did it. They almost did it. They're almost going to do it. They're going to do it. We got to do it. Well, stop complaining, David, and go take care of business.
Savage.